Yeah, tonight is Tuesday, May 6th, or 7th of ER. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Moi Katan, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. We basically completed the Mishnah, and brief ha'ara. The Mishnah said at the last line of the Mishnah that on the entire Mishnah, as we've seen, focuses on those types of activities which may or may not be done in Chol HaMoed. Recognizing that at times there might be some type of hefsed, but on the other hand, if there is too much tircha, we are not going to allow it. So it's a balancing act, and we'll see this even more explicitly a little later. Then the Mishnah also said, v'yotzin, the last four words of the Mishnah, v'yotzin af al haklai. That you, you're allowed to go out on Chol HaMoed also on account of the Kalayim. So what troubles many Rishonim is what chidush is the Mishnah recording in this particular phrase? What does the word v'yotzin mean? It means you go out. You go out and you go survey fields. And now, if you happen to notice that there are kalayim growing, what do? You rip it out. So, the Mishnah emphasizes, v'yotzin afal haklayim. Now, do you need a Mishnah to tell you that you're allowed to take a walk on Chol HaMoed? Need a Mishnah to tell me that? Why should I think that you're not allowed to go out for to check on the fields whether there is kalayim there? Why should I think that you're not allowed to? All of the other activities which the Mishnah has spoken about entail a melacha. So if you start with the first words of the Mishnah, mashkin beis hashalach. Had this been Yom Tov, what isur would you be involved in? Zoreya. When you water plants, that's the Isur of Zoreya. Or when it says later on, Misaknin es hamukul kolos b'moe, or Misaknin es hotrachit, when you repair the roads. That could be bone, could be makabapatish. So you're talking about an activity which essentially constitutes a malacha, and on Chol HaMoed, which is a quasi-Yom Tov, we want to know whether you're allowed to do it or not. So essentially we say you should avoid this malacha unless it happens to be davar ha'ava. Unless there's some financial loss that will result if you had not done so. Yeah?
Is it considered maybe like they're issuing like psak din and that they don't do that on Yom Tov or Shabbos?
No. First of all, it already says that you're allowed to have dinei Torah on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah says we read it somewhere, black and white, that you're allowed to have dini mamonos even on Chol HaMoed. Bezdin can operate on Chol HaMoed.
Well, isn't the checking going to lead to the balabayas
to what?
To do the work of removing the client?
Ah, so now that would be the next logical thing. But the halacha is, you're allowed, and here comes the point of this little ha'ara, you're allowed to be oker kilayim even on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to be oker kilayim even on Shabbos?
Because it's a constant thing.
It's an Issa D'Oraisa.
Because there's an Issa D'Oraisa taking place.
And destroying it is only Issa D'Rabbanan.
Correct. It's Mekalkel. Okay. What are you doing? Ripping out plants for just ripping them out is of no practical positive value. So it's Mekalkel.
Conjuring that eventually you're going to replant there?
So again, you need a Mishnah to tell you, V'yotzin afal haklayim. So Tosfos acknowledges the issue, and Tosfos says, look at Tosfos, B'dibur Matzal V'yotzen Ala Klayim. Tosfos says, mitzvah hu lotzeis. There's no real obligation upon what? Anybody to what? To go out ala klayim, but there's a mitzvah to do so. V'lo dami lahani achrine de katani u'misaknin d'hai chovohu. It's not to be taken in the same vein as the previous 5-6 statements, which say, u'misaknin es hadrachim. That's not an option. It's not a mitzvah. That's an obligation. Beis Din has a communal obligation to make sure that roads are paved properly so that people can walk. This is just a mitzvah. Now, what mitzvah might there be in going out on Chol HaMoed? It's specifically a mitzvah to go out and walk. Obviously, the walking itself is not an issue. So the way some Rishonim explain this is that the chiddush is, we know that the people who serve as Shluchei Beis Din are permitted to be compensated from the Trumas HaLishka. Am Yisrael, we all contribute a Machtes HaShekel every single year to the Beis HaMikdash, from which the Beis Din purchases Korbanos of the Tzibur, the Korban Tamid, the Tmidin, the Musafin. But there is also communal expenses that come out of this fund as well. So any time Beis Din has to make the Beis HaMikdash, or Beis Din has to make a payment on behalf of the community, the funds come out of the Trumas HaLishka. The halacha is that the people who go out and do the Kilayim patrol are not to be paid for their activity, but rather they're paid for what's called Schar Batola. What does Schar Batola mean? The compensation that they made for what? That they could have done something else, basically. Could have done something else. And now they're working for the community, so you got to pay them a little. Well, how many people are working on Chol HaMoed?
Not many.
Not many. That's correct. Good answer. Not many people are working on Chol HaMoed. So hence, if you had to measure what is considered the wage of Schar Batola during Chol HaMoed, it's much less. Because if it's a regular productive work day, so what could this Shliach Beis Din say? Oh, you know what? If I wasn't working for Beis Din, I'd be a big doctor in a hospital someplace. And, you know, a big law firm. But if nobody's working Chol HaMoed, you know, so the workforce is obviously...
The other logic also works.
What?
The other logic also works.
No, there are less. I understand. I'm just telling you, this is what the Meiri's interpretation is. Hence, what you're doing is you're saving community funds by specifically asking them to do what? To go out and work in Chol HaMoed. Because then their earnings, which we identify as Schar Batola, will have to be paid on a lower wage scale than if they are working on an ordinary day, and that is L'toivas HaTzibur. Hence, as Tosfos says, it's a mitzvah for them to go out. And that's what the Mishnah says, V'yotzin Alef Al HaKlayim. It's not to tell me that we need a hektar to allow it. You don't need a hektar to allow it. Because there's no isur in taking a walk on Chol HaMoed. There's no isur in taking a walk on Yom Tov. So your suggestion that, because it's going to lead to the ripping out, that's not a problem. Because the halach is, you're allowed to be oker kalayim even on Shabbos. So as a result, this is simply that it... that it allows them to save money on the Schar Batola that they would have to pay due to the fact that people are not working on Chol HaMoed.
What's the Afal claim?
What?
What's Afal claim?
Right. It means that, that's just it, even if there's no absolute imperative to do so, they went out to repair the roads. Misaknin, right? Somebody had to go out and go ahead and repair the roads. Somebody had to go repair the water supply company. They had the amasamayim, the water well, that had to be fixed. Somebody had to do that. But here, even though there's no real burning obligation that it be done, yotzin afal aklayim, they should go out because of the mitzvah involved. What mitzvah? You're going to save community funds. In fact, there are some paiskim who write, you know, talk about the working Chol HaMoed, that if a person is entitled to vacation, he should insist that vacation is Chol HaMoed. Otherwise, you can't claim that working Chol HaMoed is a davar aved. It's a davar aved if you don't have that option of taking, if you don't have the option of taking vacation. So then, the davar aved is the fact that you lost wages. If you're not going to be paid, that might be considered davar aved. But if you have the option to take vacation on those days, so then you're just doing it because you want your vacation during the summertime or during the kids' winter break. That's not considered davar aved, and that's why some say one should make that effort. But we'll talk about that some other time. But that's what Tosfos says, mitzvah hu latzeis, and that's what the chiddush of this particular Mishnah is, not really related to an Isur of Chol HaMoed, because there is no Isur per se of going, and even the uprooting itself is mutter due to the fact that it's considered a meleches kilkul. A meleches kilkul. Yeah. Even though that in itself is a... What? What?
If I had it, good. It's in my car.
Okay, no problem. So let's continue. So now we're continuing with the Gemara. So the Mishnah in line 2 says, Mashkin beis hashalacha b'morish is bein mima'ayan shiyotza b'tchila bein mima'ayan shelo yotza b'tchila. Yotza b'tchila means it's been flowing all along. Lo yotza b'tchila means it has not yet really run, had not really flowing, but you are permitted to do so. So now the Gemara asks a simple question. Hashta yesh lomar mima'ayan shiyotza b'tchila de'asal in pulei mashkin ma, nonetheless mashkin mima'ayan shelo yotza b'tchila de'lo asal in pulei mibaye. Here you have a ma'ayan shiyotza b'tchila, meaning, it's not really been established yet as a good irrigation path. So if you're allowed to go ahead and be mashke from a path which has not really been an irrigation path, what risk do you run by suddenly running water through an irrigation path with a wall that has not been firmly entrenched yet? What risk does you run that it might collapse? And if it collapsed, what might you have to do? Repair it. So if you're allowed to go ahead and be mashke from a what? From an irrigation ditch, which has not yet been established, despite the fact that what? Asilin Pule, certainly where there is no concern that it's Asilin Pule, that it will fall. Namely, it has a good track record already. Certainly you should be able to use that irrigation ditch to water, because there is less of a concern that you're going to have to do any tircha to repair it in case it collapses. Why should you anticipate that it's going to collapse? After all, it hasn't collapsed in the last 20 years. That's the Gemara's question. What? Shalatza b'tchila means that it has not just started. In other words, it's been irrigating for a long time already.
And it's not likely to collapse.
Not likely to collapse.
But that differentiation is only made by Shvius. I mean,
that was a machloikis.
I understand that.
Okay, so this, we even pointed out that the Gemara might support one opinion or the other. Correct, you remember very well. Okay. So, right now, the Gemara says, and even if it happens to be talking about Shvius, it's still one halacha could be emerged from the other. Mm-hmm. The Mishnah doesn't have to say both halachos. if you're allowed to go ahead and be mashke from a well, from a irrigation ditch that does not have an established track record, despite the fact that it might collapse and I might have to repair it, which I'm not allowed to do, certainly you should be able to water from an irrigation ditch that has a well-established track record for which there is no concern that it's going to collapse. That's the Gemara's question. Again, Hashti yesh loma mimayin shiyatza betchila. Yatza betchila means that it's coming out for the very first time. No track record. The asilin pule, and nonetheless mashkin, mimayan shilo yatza betchila. Delo asilin pue mibaye. Answers the Gemara, Amre, Itzterich. I need both cases. Why? Itana mayin shiyatza betchila. If I had listed only the mayan, which is a new well, hava amina hachahu de beis hashalachin in beis habalo. I could have imagined that this is the only type of scenario where I will allow a beis hashalachin. Remember, the beis hashalachin is the field that gets its nourishment from what? From what? Only from rainwater. Right. And as a result, that doesn't get us from rainwater. If it's rainwater, it's going to be plenty enough. This only gets its water from irrigation ditches. So in such a situation, I would think that the reason why I limit the heter on Chol HaMoed to irrigate only a field which needs it desperately, and not a Beis HaBaal. Beis HaBaal is a field that will also get what? Will get its water from rainwater. As a result, I might say that if I have a well which is Shelo Yatza Betchila, namely, an irrigation ditch, which what? Which has been well fortified, a track record, maybe I could use that to water even a Beis HaBaal as well. Why? Because what is the downside about allowing it? Is never going to lead to a potential of malacha on Chol HaMoed because it never collapses. Therefore, the Gemara says, the Mishnah has to stipulate both clauses to make sure that I understand that whether the irrigation ditch has a track record or does not have a track record, I only will allow it if it is a Beis HaShalachin, but it will not be permitted if it's a Beis HaSada, a Sdei HaBaal. That's what the Gemara says. I'll read it again inside. Amri, Itzterech, Itana ma'ayan shiyatza betchila, hava amina, hachahu de Beis HaShalachin in, Beis HaBaalo, mishum de asilin pule. Here I will say that what? That I should make the distinction between the Beis HaShalachin and the Beis and the Sdei HaBaal. Because there is a possibility that it might have to be fixed. Might have to be fixed. However, avol mayan shelo yatza betchila, meaning a ma'ayan, an irrigation ditch that has already been flowing for years, delo asilin pule, where there is no chance or a slim chance that it'll collapse. After all, it's been feeding perfectly for years. Eima afilu beis haba'al nami, kamash malan, therefore the Mishnah says, no. Lo shna mayin shiyatza betchila, lo shna mayin shelo yatza betchila. Beis hashalachin in, beis haba'al lo. Beis haba'al lo. Yeah.
Does the Mishnah ever mention a beis haba'al?
No. The Mishnah says only beis hashalachin.
Exactly.
That's correct, but the inference is that a Beis HaShalachin in, but not a Beis HaBaal. That's the inference. That's why the Mishnah mentions, but if you're allowed to be Mashke all fields, then it would say Mashkin Sados, not just Shalachin.
Right, that's the point. I would think that this Lima that the Gemara is learning, the Mishnah is already eliminated. It didn't say anything about a Beis HaBaal, meaning that it's all Aser.
Correct, but I could have made an erroneous inference. When do I allow? That's you know, it's not. So now the Gemara is going to deal with the issue. Now the Gemara is going to deal with the issue. Why do I call a field that needs irrigation water in order to feed it and does not suffice with rainwater? Why do I call that shalachin? And why do I call a field that will be more than adequately supplied based on rainwater? Why do I call such a field a beis haba? It's very unusual words to identify. So the Gemara will deal with that. Says the Gemara. Umay mashma, dahai beis hashalochin lishna ditzachusahi. How do I know that the word shalachin is an expression of indicating thirst? Thirst. That it needs a lot of water, and that rainwater is not enough. Dichsiv ve'ata ayef v'yogeya. By Amalek, describes Am Yisrael as being very, very tired, having walked around in the desert. Umitargeminan ve'at mishilhi. Veloi. Okay? So, it uses the word mishilhi, and the shches and the hey are interchangeable, as if it said mashalchi, and that's a situation of oyef viyageya. One of the telltale signs of somebody walking around the desert, what leads to his ayefut and yigiya? What leads to it? The desperate need for water. So hence, Am Yisrael being described as Ayef Yageya, what made them so weary and tired in the desert? The fact that they were what? Lacking water. That's a typical sign. And the words for Ayef Yageya in Targum Onkelos is Shilhi. Step number two, the hay and the chet are interchangeable. So Beit HaShalochin is the same as Beit HaShalohin, and hence it means tired, thirsty for water.
I see it here in the Tosfos, but the Gemara left out the step of how you know Ayef Ve'ageya is Sameh. I mean, he quotes another pasuk.
That is correct.
So that's, you know, kind of missing.
Right, Sameh Lamayim, Dechsev Harvesi Nefesh Ayefa. But you don't need Tosfos to figure that out. That's one of the factors that leads to Ayefut, traveling in the desert. The fact that there's not enough water. That's for that. Now how do I know umay mashma the high base habal lishna demiya savusahi? How do I know that base habal is an expression of what? Where it's satisfied and it doesn't need additional assistance from man through irrigation ditches or anything like. It's satisfied with the rainwater. How do I know? The Pasuk Yeshaya says, Kiyiv al bachur besula. When a young lad, a young boy, will have relations for the first time with a virgin. Umitargamiman are kama demitosav ulam imbisulta. Imbisulta. Yiyas. Iyas yivinun bigoyech banayik. Very nice. So the imagery is that just as when a young boy has relations with a young abisula, all of his desires are fulfilled, all of his dreams and expectations are fulfilled, he is satisfied, so too this field is satisfied by which the rainwater is produced. Other Rishayim quote another pasuk that says that the rain, I forgot where the pasuk is ba'alata aretz. Is ba'alata aretz. The husband of the land. And that the imagery is right, because without rain, the earth doesn't produce anything. So the aretz is the wife, and the husband who provides the rain is ba'alat aretz, and therefore it's the rain. So if it suffices with the rain, it's called a beis habal, and as a result, the chachamim did not allow you to water them by having the irrigation ditch moved in the direction of the beit habal.
What's it adding with the targum over here? Russian just from the pasuk itself, kivval, kivval.
Yeah, but how do I know that?
Where do you get the language of savea? That's where they're getting it. The misosa,
right? That he's satisfied. The mitosav, satisfied completely.
That's how you know about that. The implication of
Baal. Yeah, that's the implication of a Baal with a betula.
A Baal is kind of false.
What?
Kind of false.
Okay, see, that would be another way. And the rain, yeah, okay. No problem. Whatever you want, there's no problem. Okay. Now, a question which all Rishonim asked, quoted by the questions asked by the Ritva, by the Tosfos HaRosh, that the reason given as to why you're not supposed to use a ma'ayan shiyatza b'tchila is in case the wall would collapse, what are you going to have to do?
Repairs.
You have to repair it. Good. Well, if that's the case, asks the Tosfos HaRosh, later on in the Mishnah itself, it says, Osin, Chachamim say, Osin es ha'ama b'tchila b'shviyis, u'misaknin es ha'mukul kalos b'moed. What does that mean? You're allowed to repair on Yom Tov the ama, which is the irrigation drain. You're allowed to, the irrigation ditch, you're allowed to repair it. So who cares that what? That why does the Gemara say that if I have an irrigation ditch, which is yatsa b'tchila, namely it's starting to produce just now, you are not permitted to use it because of the fact that the wall might collapse. No, if the wall collapses, go ahead and repair it. The Mishnah says you're allowed to repair walls.
Could you allow to do something with that tequila which would lead to that?
Okay. So you're close to what the Ritva says. The Ritva says that since it's a new well, it's a new irrigation ditch, you never know if the water is actually going to flow adequately or not. You never know. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. Hence, even if you repair it, what might happen when you start diverting water into this irrigation ditch? What might happen? It might not flow. And then what happens? Your effort will have gone for naught. You will have expended energy in repairing the wall of this newly formed irrigation ditch. If we are going to allow you to repair something, I only want to allow you to repair it if under what will happen, or what's going to happen, that you know for a fact that your efforts are going to be productive. So when you have a irrigation ditch which has been flowing for 20 years, and now the wall repairs, says the Mishnah, Misaktin es ha'mukul kalos b'moed, you can repair it. Why? Because the chances are that when you repair the walls of this irrigation ditch that's been flowing for 20 years, it will continue to service as a good irrigation canal. But if it has not, if it's yatsa b'tchila, so then you can stop your water. Then it collapses, maybe it's not going to really flow. Hence, your effort will have gone for nothing. So answers answers the Ritva. The Rush, the Tosfos HaRosh, answers a little differently. And he says, and we're going to see this repeatedly in a couple of minutes, that it's a question of how much effort you're going to have to make. When you're dealing with a wall of an irrigation ditch that has been flowing for a while, repair of such a wall is not going to take a very long time. Seems to be rather arbitrary. But when you have a wall of an irrigation ditch that has not yet really flowed, you really have to secure and fasten those walls to guarantee that the water will flow. And that's considered tircha yisera, and hence the Chachamim prohibited it. So the Rush says that the differential is not that not that we're worried about the lack of productivity afterwards. That's not the concern.
No, but the rabbis allow it.
What?
The rabbis allow it.
In which case?
They don't differentiate in the Mishnah.
No. Correct. But so then why does the Mishnah say you're not allowed to engage in watering with a ma'ayad shiyatza b'tchila?
So that one they don't allow, but the other
why
one...
Why not? But if see, that was the question. So if they allow you to repair, why don't they allow you to use an irrigation ditch? Because it might fall. If it falls, if it collapses, repair it. So here's the difference between the two cases. Okay, Lamagain Viper. Mantana dipseda in harvachalo. The Gemara is going to ask a twofold question. The entire principle of the Mishnah is predicated upon two rules. Number one, they will only allow you to engage in an activity to avoid financial loss. But the lack of possible gain is not considered a legitimate reason as to why we will allow melach on chol hamoed, only to avoid loss, not hefsed exactly, but not because I could have made a bundle. That's called harvacha. That's number one. Man tana de pseido in harvacha lo. Two. Even if you are dealing with what? With pseida, with financial loss, I will only allow it if there is not a lot of tircha. But if there is a lot of tircha, I will not allow such a thing. Those are the two principles of the Mishnah. The Mishnah asks the Gemara, Mantana, who might be the author of such a statement? Now, it's an unusual question, because when you have a nameless Mishnah, we know who the author of the opinion is. It's Rabbi Meir. Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. So why is the Gemara asking this case? Because later on, a little later, Rabbi Meir is going to tip his cap and say something which is not in line with these principles. Hence, the Mishnah knows that and has to ask, Mantana, who is the person who will have been the author of this statement? So initially, the Gemara proposes, Amar Rav Huna, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. This name, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Moshchin esamayin me'ilon le'ilon, ubilvad shelo yashke esasode kula. Rabbi Eliezer allows you to, if you have a... water that has gathered by one tree, a big pool by one tree, Rabbi Eliezer allows you to redirect that water to go to other trees in the field. He allows you to dig a little ditch and allow the water to go to other trees. That's what Rabbi Eliezer said. Now, how's that statement going to confirm the principle of the Mishnah? How is that principle going to... So take a look at Rashi.
It's a basic shlachin.
So let's take a look at Rashi. Moshchin ha-mayim me'ilon le'ilon, b'cholo shomoed, im yesh mayim tachas ilon echad, osin derech katan me'ilon le'ilon, k'dei shiyim shichu ha-mayim me'ilon zel ilon acher. So you're allowed to engage in some type of activity. Sometimes it's not tircha yisera; it's just a small little tircha by digging out a little furrow to allow the water to trickle from one water to the next. But lo yashke sasada kula bebeis haba al kamayri the harvacha hi alma the harvacha the milsa also Rabbi Eliezer. What would be the net gain of having the water diverted from one tree to the next tree? What's going to happen? It's a beis habal. Now, if it's a beis habal, it means it primarily gets its water from what?
Rain.
From the rain. So by redirecting the the water to the entire field, what would happen under those circumstances? It would enhance the growth. It would enable the fruit, the trees to blossom more quickly. Not that they're in danger right this minute. So Rabbi Eliezer allows you to engage in a minimal activity, but not violate the rule of the Mishnah that number one, Beis HaBaal is no good, and number two, Harvacha is no good, number three, only a little effort. But anything which would be considered Tircha Yisera is not going to be allowed. So says the Gemara initially.
Where's the Hefsed?
What?
Where's the Hefsed? I thought you need Hefsed in order to do it.
Correct.
So if he doesn't do it, where's his Hefsed?
Oh, because if you have too much water on the one tree, who knows what's going to happen to that one tree?
So the idea is not to damage the current tree.
Correct. Not to damage the current tree. When you have too much water on that one tree, one tree might suffer. So what you do is you divert some of the water to another tree, but you don't allow it to go to the entire field, because that would be too much effort. Too much effort. That's what the Gemara says. Says the Gemara, Gemara challenges, Eimer de Shamat Leila Rabbi Eliezer, Harvacha de Lo Tircha, B'makom Seda Mishamat Lei. When does Rabbi Eliezer allow it? So that should be the opposite.
I think there's no Hefsed, that's the question. There's no mention of Hefsed anywhere.
No, but then what were the Gemara's asking? B'makom Seda Mishamat Lei. Why would he prohibit it?
Maybe the trees need more water than supplied by the rain alone.
No, Rashi says it's a Beis HaBaal. And a Beis HaBaal is a field,
but
that...
maybe it's only the field that's a Beis HaBaal, but the trees require more water than the whatever's planted.
Okay, so then what's the Gemara's question? The most challenging that Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov cannot be the author of this particular Mishnah. Ema de Shamat Leila Rabbi Lezer Harvacha.
Harvacha de la.
De lo tircha. What?
Harvacha de la. That there is no rebah.
Yeah, so then that the phrase is tircha b'makam seda mi shamat lei.
I think they're saying, because he adds here, that Basias Malacha Shein Ba Tircha Yisera Makom Shneish La Harbacha V'lo have said. That's where he allows only a small amount of Malacha. But in the case of Makom Seda Mishamatle, he would even allow more tircha.
If it was real Pseida, he would allow you to engage in more Tircha.
Yes, I think the first case there's no Hefsed anywhere, and that's why it doesn't fit. So the Gemara is pointing that out. In the case where there's only Harvacha. Or excuse me, there's no Hefsed, there's really no Harvacha, but it's or minimal Harvacha. I don't know what the Havamina is, when I say that out loud.
What's the Havamina?
That's what he's explaining in the Gemara here. He says, Haim Shemana Midvaro Sha'asur, B'itakin Shi'atir B'la Zven Yaakov Azeh, meaning that he's going to allow, in a case of Hefsed, even with Tircha Yisera. That's how he's explaining the question, but I don't understand the Havamina. You would think Rashi would mention the Hefsed, you know.
Yeah.
In that first case, he doesn't mention it.
So if the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov felt there was no Hefsed whatsoever, so then what's he allowing? He's allowing enable Harvacha as long as there's no Tircha.
Right.
But Pemkom Seda, he would have allowed even much more than that. Strange question. Very strange question. Okay, I got to go back and think about that. I don't know. Okay. I want to deal with a question on this premise, which the Gemara assumes that Gemara is operating with, and show you five other cases which seem to contradict the principle of this Mishnah and how Rishonim handled it. So again, the principle is that if there is Pseida, I will allow you to engage in some activity, but I will not allow Tircha Yaseir. Good. So take the sheet. We'll go through three, four cases. Case number one. It's based on a Mishnah later on, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and the Mechaber, I give you the Psak of the Mechaber each time. Mi shahafach ezesav, o shahayayeno bibor. Here is the case. On Erev Yom Tov, before Yom Tov, somebody put his zesim into a bad, into a big pit. What they do is, you take the olives, put them in a little pit, wait till they get very soft, and then once they become very soft, you have to press them immediately. Otherwise, they lose their good oil. Azoishtait. So here's what happened. Somebody put his olives into this pit. Ve'ira ones. And what happened? He became an ovel. Osheshachach. He forgot about them completely. Onis atzel. He became a little lazy. Shahaya savor. Shahaya yachol lishos la'achar haregel. V'lo osa kainim haregel. So what happens? He miscalculated. He figured that when they're sitting there in this pit, he's got time till after Yom Tov to begin the pressing. He does a little inspection on Yom Tov and he notices they're already very soft. So now what's going to happen? So the Mishnah says, Zole Fegomer. He's allowed to go ahead and what? Operate the presses. Now the Gemara assumes, Rishonim assume, that operating presses is an enormous amount of tircha. Enormous amount of tircha. Why do they allow this enormous amount of tircha? Because of the hefsed of the zeisim. Case number two. Somebody put wine into barrels to age. And then what happened? Then what happens? The barrels become leaky. And they have to be tarred. The Mishnah says, the Rav Mechaber Paskins, Umizafes Hechavios, Ben Kitanos, Ben Gedolos. There is a Machloikis later on. One opinion is you're only allowed to what? Smear a tar on small jugs, but not big barrels. The other opinion is big barrels, not small jugs. The Mechaber Paskins Lakula in both cases. So all Rishonim say, We don't know what is activity because we don't do these things. But tarring barrels is a very effort-laden activity. So, question is, why are you allowed to do these two activities if tircha is prohibited? It's question number one from this particular case. Case number two is source base. Two simanim later in Shulchan Aruch, binyan afilu kol shehu asur. All types of construction on Chol HaMoed are asur. However, im nifratz geder ginaso, if the fence around his garden fell down, o kosel chatzero shebeino lechaveiro, or the wall that is dividing your territory from the next person. Boneu masa hedge. You're allowed to rebuild it, not in a professional manner. What do? Shemeiniach avanim zu al gabzu ve'eno toch petit. You put stones one on top of the other, but you don't put cement in. You don't put any cement in between the two. But picking up stones is an enormous amount of tercha. Asks all Rishonim, why does the halacha allow this type of thing? Because the fence fell down. Hey, why do we allow that type of tircha on Yom Tov? It's enormous tircha. Case number three. The Mechaber writes, Asur liktzor hasade becholo shomoed im eino nifsad im ya'amod ala achar hamoed. You are not permitted to cut your field if it's not going to result in a financial loss, if it can what? Can wait until after Yom Tov. But if it can't wait till after Yom Tov, What's the halacha? You're allowed to harvest it. If it can't wait. Nu, whatever happened to the tircha here? Whatever happened to the tircha? So these questions are raised by a variety of rishayim. And there are two primary responses how to handle our Mishnah versus all of these cases which seem to contradict our Mishnah. One answer is provided by the Nemuki Yosef. I bracketed his relevant remarks. The Nemuki Yosef is right now Gemara. He's the commentary around the Rif in Moed Katan. V'tired Zal, he's quoting the Ravid, D'chol inyan ze nimsar lechachamim. V'heim ra'u shelo kol haponim shavim ela lefi aveda sol heitiru es torcho. Lefi aveda sol heitiru es tircho. What is that? The golden rule. What does that mean? That all of this is up to the chachamim. And what criteria did the chachamim employ in making the decision?
The bigger the loss.
The bigger the loss, the more I'm going to allow. If it's a small loss, I'm not going to allow much tircha. An enormous financial loss, I'm going to allow more tircha. It's a very convenient answer to answer stiros in a Mishnah. When Mishnah A says no, Mishnah says okay. But that's what the Nemuki Yosef says in the name of the Ravid. That do not get into trouble. Don't bother looking for objective criteria, because, Rabotai, there are no objective criteria. This is a hashara of the Chachamim. The Chachamim weighed in and made their calculations and came to the conclusion. This type of financial loss, I will allow X amount of tircha. This type of, I will allow Y amount of tircha. What's the formula? I couldn't tell you. Neither could the Nemuki Yosef or the Ravid. But that's what they're saying. Hence, when you see a Mishnah, you have to assume that there is a normal financial... All of these cases are enormous financial loss. Therefore, we're going to allow. Our Mishnah, minimal financial loss. Therefore, you're not going to allow. Okay. Or, as an alternate explanation, is the Ritva. And the Ritva writes... In line number 2, V'yeshloimar, the Hasam hu b'mechubar. Shelo higia liktafim. Umi yeimar d'osi k'dei shenitrach boharbe. Avol betolush shehu b'rshuso. Inami liktzor or liftzor k'godur dami. Upse doso bari mamish hilkach mutter. Says the Ritva, herein lies the difference. If you're dealing with something that is mechuba lekarka, I am going to be much stricter. Why am I going to be much stricter? Because you never know whether or not the effort that we will allow in Chol HaMoed will reap its benefits. Maybe it's just not eventually going to grow. Maybe there'll be a drought. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a sandstorm. We have no idea how to predict the future. So when something is b'mechubar, and his definition of mechubar here is it's not yet completely ready to go, we're going to be very strict. Because there is a possibility that our efforts will not be rewarded.
So which case is that?
But if it's, you'll have to work it out yourself. But if it's bitolush, and now he's expanding the halacha of talush, what's the halacha of talush? Kala ome liktzar kitkotzer dami. Kala ome likdar kigadu dami. Namely, if the product has already been completely grown and doesn't need any of the nutrition of the earth, doesn't need any more rain, under those circumstances, now if I allow what? You to engage in certain malacha Chol HaMoed, it's guaranteed to bear results. Where it's guaranteed to bear results, the Chachamim were far more tolerant and allowed you to go ahead and engage in a malacha Chol HaMoed. So now you would have to go through case by case and see which of the cases are. So what's our Mishnah according to the Ritva talking about? What's our Mishnah talking about?
It's Tell us. It's,
it's still, it's bibichubar, and the products are just in the growth stage. Well, in the growth stage, we don't know if anything's going to grow. Hence, the chachamim will allow you to be mashke only if there's no tircha. But all of the other cases, the guy has his olives already in the... That's not the... The olives are here. They are ready to go. And when you have grain ready to be cut, that's fully grown grain.
Doesn't work.
So even then I will allow you to want...
I'm building a fence and a wall.
Okay, so there the net result will be realized right away. What am I afraid of? I'm going to be your neighbor with no guarantee, with the wall being collapsed? I know what you're going to do. In the middle of the night, you're going to move the fence over 2 inches. I know you were ready. You're going to do that. The next night, another 2 inches. And you'll violate the law of Lo Tasig Gavul Reyacha, Asher Gavlu Rishonim, the real Balt, you know, Hasagas Gavul. Not open up a competing store.
You're Choshed? We're Choshed?
Yeah, and also Hezek Riyash May Hezek. You're going to look into me while I'm watching my Yankee game, you know, because you're a Met fan, you know. You know, I don't want you seeing, looking at me, watching my Met game, watching the Yankee game. Yeah.
And the problem is that the masks, the in a mahalo. I mean, did the Gemara get to that? Do we know that conclusion from somewhere else?
No, we don't. We don't know. The conclusion is from this Mishnah. You mean which conclusion? That we don't allow pseida when there is tircha?
This
Mishnah happened in this premise. Well, the other Mishnahs don't seem to be following that premise. That's the question which the Rishonim asked. That there are too many conflicting sources to the principle of this Mishnah. So therefore, there are two approaches. Nemuki Yosef says, okay, there is no objective way to find. Just leave it up to the Chachamim. Whatever they say is okay. Okay. And the greater the loss, the more tircha is going to allow. Okay. End of discussion. The Ritva says, no, there is somewhat of a pattern of a rule. If the product has not yet been fully developed, the Chachamim are far less tolerant to allow malacha. Why? Because their efforts may have gone for naught. But once the product is fully developed, and now if I don't allow you to do certain things, there is vadai hefseid, then the chacham are far more tolerant and even allow tercha. That's the Ritva's answer. So those are two important principles and rules of concerning a variety of mishnayos which we will pick up, and I just gave you the bottom line halacha right there and then. Yeah, another line or two of the Gemara. I still have to figure out what the Gemara's Havamin and Kash is.
Isn't it a little tough that concept's not mentioned by the Gemara itself?
It is a little strange. I would grant you that. When you have such an enormous conflict emerging, it's a good question. But you can say that of a lot of great chidushim that Rishonim said. Why didn't the Gemara talk about it? Put the Rishonim out of business. You know, you need Reb Chaim, you need a Shagas Aryeh. Why didn't the Gemara, what did the Rishonim say? If the Shagas Aryeh, if the Rishonim gave every single situation, and the Gemara gave every situation, you wouldn't need Rishonim, wouldn't need Achronim, wouldn't need us.
I still got to figure out what they said.
Elam or Rav Papa, Ha-Mani Rabbi Yehudi. No, the author of this Mishnah is not Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, but rather it's Rabbi Yehudi, the Sani we learned in a Braisa. Mayan hayotzi betchila, mashkin mimenu afilu sdei habal, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda Aimer, ein mashkin ela sdei beis hashalachin, shechorva. So Rabbi Meir says that that a mayan hayotzi betchila, you're allowed to use that to water even a stay abal. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Ein mashkin el stay beis hashalachin shechorva. The Gemara will ask in a second, what exactly does it mean, shechorva? Gemara will ask that a little later. But the point is that Rabbi Yehuda here only allows sadeh beis hashalachin. which is exactly what the Mishnah says. Rabbi, the inference from our Mishnah was that a Sedei HaBaal is no good. And Rabbi Meir allows a Sedei HaBaal. Hence, the author of this Mishnah can't be the Stam rule of Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, and it has to be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. All right, we'll stop here, and we'll continue next Avach. Next week, back to the regular Monday night. And I hope to try to get that Gemara cleared up.
So is the surgery to be right in your building?
Every shul on the planet uses it. Every Ashkenaz and Yusuf style uses it. Edot HaMizrach, I don't know. They don't?
I don't know who changed. My son plays.
It's a good question.
He plays intramural bowling. And I think like volleyball or something.
This is what my son does. Okay. I
don't
think the Rama says it.
Yeah.
I don't know the argument. Another question.